I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
Steph.
OMG. I cannot believe we're talking to her.
This is going to be so much fun. I've been looking forward to this.
Crazy.
Well, friends, our next guest is a comedian, actress, singer, and a Saturday Night Live alum. You may know her as a former cast member of SNL from 86 to 1992, and she just released her first music comedy album, When I Get to Nashville, which is now available at all digital outlets, including Amazon. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Victoria Jackson.
Oh, Victoria!
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, first off, Victoria, thank you for saying yes to Steph and I. We are ecstatic to talk to you. The first thing I want to ask you, right, when you were doing, when you've been doing comedy, a lot of what you've been known for is the handstands. When was the last time you did a handstand?
Oh, that's a good question. I gotta get the picture and show you. The last handstand that I stuck, that I could hold, was when I was 60. And I'm 64, so now I have to cheat. This was in Paris 2 years ago.
What?
That was our hotel room.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm cheating because I'm leaning against the door frame.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But I could stick it and hold it my whole life because my dad was a gymnastics coach. And the reason why that was meaningful to me was because there's nothing you can do with that skill except be a coach. If you do get in the Olympics and you get on a cereal box, you become a coach. There's nothing to do with gymnastics. There's no purpose on the earth for gymnastic skills. So when I went to Hollywood and I was 19 and I was noticing that stand-up comedy was a new thing, I didn't know how to stand out in the crowd because all the blonde homecoming queens of America were against me for commercials. And so I thought, hey, maybe if I say my lines upside down, they'll remember me or I'll get the part or something. So I started doing it here and there. And then my agent, Mark Teitelbaum, said, stop doing handstands. I can't sell you as a serious actress if you keep doing handstands.
Right.
So, you know, it had good and bad. It did get me on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, which was my big break.
What's the longest you could do a handstand? Because I think I had read it was over 3 minutes, I believe.
I think maybe a minute. You know how long 60 seconds is? That's a long time.
It's a very long time.
Especially upside down.
Yes. I think maybe a minute and a half was the longest. But on my new CD, I'm doing it in front of the statue at Music Row in Nashville. And that's a mini pearl statue.
Where's the craziest place you've done a handstand?
Oh, yes. Because I saw on a fire hydrant. I saw on the desk of SNL.
Okay, this was in LA, a diving board. Crazy. Oh, this was my backyard when I was growing up.
Look at that, Steph.
Very poor neighborhood, but my dad had a beam. This is my competing years. I have like every city I've ever been to. This one looks dangerous.
Yes, it does.
It's in New York, but...
Is that on the top of a hotel or something? What is that?
It might have been 30 Rock, but it was there was a little garden below it, so I wouldn't have died. And then, like, I did them everywhere. Oh, the scariest one I ever did was in a champagne glass bathtub in the Poconos, 15 feet high.
No.
And it's in here, but I won't show that. It's a Christian show.
So, Steph, can you imagine, Victoria's your mom. Like, we like embarrassing our kids.
Totally.
But when she has kids, like, embarrassing them, like, okay, take a picture of me. I got to do this handstand in front of the Grand Canyon or whatever. Like, everywhere they're going, she's going to be doing a handstand. I love that.
I think that goes not embarrassing, but super cool mom.
I think so, too.
Super cool.
Well, I think I'm a cool mom, but they think kind of weird. But yeah, neither one of them have followed in the entertainment show biz footsteps, yeah. Except my oldest daughter is a writer speaker, and she writes Christian books. So that's a little bit like showbiz, you know.
Yes.
I love that. I have a question. What made you quit college to pursue comedy?
That's a good question. You guys are a really cute couple.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You look like Barbie and Ken.
I will take that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, so my childhood is serious. Workout, gymnastics, no TV, church 3 times a week, Southern Baptist Church. But in college, my dream was to marry Paul Wessel and have 7 children in matching outfits like Maria and the Sound of Music and live in a mansion and play the ukulele and have them harmonize. And a little kink came into my dream. I had a diamond ring from Paul in college at Furman University, 77, 78. And his dad said, "You're too young to get married. I will not pay for your college if you get married."
Okay.
And I said, "Well, Paul, if you really loved me, you'd stand up to him and say, I'm marrying her anyway." And Paul's like, you know, his whole life was like, you have to get a college degree. So I couldn't afford Furman anymore, and he could. So it was like, well, I could either go back home to Miami and be a typist and save up money and try to finish college, or I could be a typist in Greenville, South Carolina, but I don't know where I live if I'm not allowed in the dorm, or I could be a typist in Hollywood, California, and chase my whim of acting. I got the acting bug because I was in one play.
Okay.
At Furman, and it got laughs, and it was like a drug. I was like, I must have that feeling again. And so I thought, this is the only time in my life when I can chase a whim, because I know I'll be married and have kids someday. So through a series of adventures, I ended up in L.A., and I was a typist in L.A. and trying to be an actress on the side. So that's what made me leave college. I couldn't afford it, but I did get my B.A. at age 50. When my kids were in high school, I went back, finished my degree, and 2 years ago, I just got my master's. So I was kind of bored. So
well done, Victoria. That's good.
In film, I thought I would learn how to work the camera and the lighting because I'm too old to be on camera now. I don't like to see myself on camera. I said, well, I could be a director or something. But I didn't learn how to do the camera or the lights. I think I'm going to have to learn on the job because they didn't teach me. But I do have my master's.
All right, Steph, we are super excited to share our book with listeners.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we now have the second edition of our book titled You Met Her Where, with an updated cover that includes some pretty amazing testimonials.
Yeah, it does. We asked prior guests if they would check out our book and consider writing a referral for our updated edition. Well, you will now see on the cover testimonials from Jim Tressel, Victor Marks, 3-time Olympic gold medalist Leah Amico, and the co-creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Mark Victor Hansen.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we are still pinching ourselves. If you want to order your copy of You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com, we'll make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want to gift it to.
Again, go to kevinandsteph.com.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. So tell us how you got your big break.
In Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay, so the way I got to Hollywood was I was doing summer stock in Birmingham, my first acting job, and the lead, Johnny Crawford, the star of it, he was from Hollywood. He was a child star on The Rifleman. He was 33. I was 19. He wanted me to be in his nightclub act. I said, well, you got to ask my parents, blah, blah, blah. I'm in Hollywood. I have 3 jobs. I'm living in a retirement hotel for room and board, and I'm thinking, how do I get an agent? Because Johnny didn't have an agent.
Okay.
I'm like, Johnny, how do you get an agent? And he goes, I don't know. It's hard. And so stand-up was a new thing in 1980, and there's very few women doing it. And I thought, if I could do a stand-up routine, I could get people to look at me, and maybe I could get an agent or something. So I didn't have an act. I didn't have 6 minutes. You need 6 minutes to get on Johnny Carson.
Okay.
So I went to the Comedy Store on open mic night, and I did Lily Tomlin's routine, Edith Ann. My name is Edith Ann. I'm 5 and a half years old. Anyway, I did that,
You did her exact act?
Yeah. You're not supposed to.
Are you saying, is that a no-no?
That's a no-no. But I did a no-no. I didn't know. So I did her act, and then it was 1 a.m. That was my allotted time. There's 3 drunk businessmen in the audience. That's it. And I got off the stage, and Mitzi was in the back, the famous Mitzi, and she goes, "You don't ever do someone else's act, especially if they're alive." And I was like, oh, I did not know.
Mitzi Shore, right?
Mitzi Shore.
Okay.
And so then I thought, oh, I have to make up my own routine. So I thought, well, I can do a handstand. I made up some poems. I can play the ukulele. I thought, if I do a handstand and say poetry, it'll keep them watching. I don't know if it's funny, but they will keep watching. And so I started doing it at the Variety Arts Center for 2 years. Every night in my cigarette girl job, I asked the boss if I could, and I put my cigarette tray down, do my little 6 minutes, and I honed it for 2 years. I saw what they laughed at, what they didn't laugh at. And then the talent scout from The Tonight Show was in there one night, and he saw it, and he said, would you like to be on The Tonight Show? So that was my big break. And then I was standing backstage, and the talent scout was holding the curtain. He was going to pull it back, and I was supposed to walk out and hit the mark in the center of the stage. And his hand was shaking, and we were both waiting for the announcer to call my name. And I said, why is your hand shaking? I'm the one who has to go out there. And he goes, because if Johnny doesn't like you, I lose my job.
Oh, no. He's the one who recommended you, probably?
Yeah, he's the one who saw me in the club. That was his job, going to find stand-up. Talent. And so I went out there, and Johnny liked my act, and he went like that. And so Jim McCauley did not lose his job. Yay.
Yay, Jimmy.
Hey, Victoria, how old were you? 22?
I was 23, my first Tonight Show.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah. And
just
then
a
I
kid.
Did, yeah. And then I did, I was on 20 times.
Were you really?
I was on 18 with Johnny, 1 with Gary Shandling, 1 with someone else. And then I think that's how Lorne Michaels heard of me, was probably from seeing me on The Tonight Show. And then in 86, when I was 26, then I got the audition for Saturday Night Live, and I had a baby, and I was married to a fire eater. My 20s were a great adventure.
Okay, you just threw a lot out there. You just stole a few of my fun facts as well, Victoria. But what's scarier for you? Is it auditioning for SNL or going on The Carson Show for the first time?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
No one's ever asked me that.
Oh, good.
No one's ever asked me why I left college. That was cool. They were both equally scary.
I mean, say both of those sound incredibly scary to me.
Yeah. But because I'm a Christian, I have everything in perspective.
Right.
Like, it was scary and exciting. But my main goal in life was not to be a famous movie star. It is to glorify God. So that takes a little pressure off.
Did you ever feel pressure to dirty up your set or cuss during your set? Did they ever put pressure on you for that?
Or if you get to a film, you're like, I don't want to do this, but you're in the film. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, that's the hard part. I've had a few instances like that. Like, the movie Casual Sex was my first lead role. The title is shocking. The movie, it's not shocking, especially compared to what's on Netflix now. But it's not a Christian movie, but it's pretty much anti-casual sex. But I was playing the not promiscuous girl. So when I auditioned, I assumed that I would be clothed because my character was the shy, modest one. You know, I'm like, well, they're not going to make me. And so then after I get the job and a month goes and we're shooting and I can't get out of it, then the director was like, I want you to show your butt when you are going to the table. I'm like, Jean-Pierre, my character would never show her butt. She's very uncomfortable. And then, like, we had a disagreement.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I said, Jean-Pierre, I'm a Christian. And she goes, but you are playing Melissa. Melissa is not a Christian, you know.
Right.
And I don't do a French accent very good. So, you know, she's right. I'm not playing me. So it's hard. Like, mm-hmm. My first movie, was the pickup artist, and I was supposed to be a bad girl, but I had no bad words. I had like tiny scenes, and I went to my pastor, Harold Lane at First Baptist of Pasadena, and I said, "Pastor, should I turn this movie down?" And he goes, "Vicki, I think you should be the best actress you can be at your job and be the best wife and mother and Christian in your real life." And I was like, okay. Oh, words, I always change the words.
Like, oh, good.
If, I never took God's name in vain. If it, like at SNL, if it said OMG and all that, mm-hmm. I would just go, "Oh my goodness," or "Oh no," or, you know, "Bummer," or, and no one ever said anything. They never said anything. Nobody scolded me or anything. And a lot of times, if you don't say the cuss word, it's way funnier if you don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, if you crumb bunnies or something. But my dad was very strict about words.
Yeah.
And so I did start using the F word when I was 50, only screaming at my husband because the rage was unbearable. And I repented. But, yeah, I didn't cuss until I was 50, which is kind of weird.
But, Victoria, if I were you, I would be immediately calling for a stunt double, right? Don't you have stunt doubles on those movies? Like, hey, it's your turn.
Go show your butt.
Yes, you show your butt. Come on in. Like, tag team, you're in.
Yeah, I have heard of that. But it was a hard decision because I thought, if I turn it down, God will bless me and my career. But then I thought, but I also have to pay the rent. And, you know, it's hard.
Yeah. It is hard.
But my little joke is, now that I'm 64, nobody asks me to be naked anymore. It's not a problem.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about tell us a good story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Motika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor. Before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So, Victoria, for some of our guests, we like to play like a game of rapid fire just to see if there's any stories about some people that you've worked with in the past, right? And so you're a great person to ask because
so good.
Your career is fascinating, the people you've met, you've worked with. And so we wanted to see if you have any fun stories with some of these people. So, Steph, you have a list. That you
I
want
do
to share
have
with
a
Victoria.
List.
Okay.
Go. Okay. I want to know if you have a story about Robin Williams.
Oh, I was in a sketch with him where...
You're his wife, I think.
Yes, having a baby. And the joke is he's asking me to hold the video camera while I'm in labor. Shooting him, like, he's a narcissist, you know. He's like, can you see me? My story of him, he's just very shy and quiet if he's not performing. That's what I
really?
Noticed. Very shy.
Wow.
Interesting. How about Dolly Parton?
I sang a song with her, didn't get on the show. She was sweet, but I didn't get to know her very well.
Mm. Steve Martin?
Shy, quiet, very serious about comedy. Had a briefcase with sharpened pencils and blank yellow pads in it that he opened up at the first meeting of SNL to write down ideas with everyone. And yeah, he approaches comedy, what I observed, with the precision of a heart surgeon, brain
oh, wow.
surgeon.
Yes, very serious.
Is this funnier or is this funnier? Like, it's science, you know?
Uh-huh. How about Willie Nelson?
Oh, I loved when I got to sing with him. He sang my song. He didn't come to the rehearsal, but he pulled it off anyway with the cue cards, and people were making jokes about the roaches in his limo or something. I don't know. But he was very charming and kind, and I didn't get to know the people because it was just like, boom, and then it's over.
Yeah. How about Adam Sandler?
Oh, Adam Sandler. Okay, so he was new when I was old there. and I was a little older. And I remember his first sketch, I think, was a fake commercial, and I had to kiss him or something, like on the mouth, like that. And I remember my daughter was about 4 at the time, and she got a crush on him.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
She was on the set, and she was just like, okay. I mean, of all the people there, she picked him to have a crush on. I don't know. But I didn't have any much with him because he was always with Spade and Farley, and they're always together.
Yeah.
Drawing up little magic ideas.
Mm-hmm.
What about Chris Farley?
Shy, and especially around women.
Was
like,
he?
He'd be like, and I'd be like, hi, Chris, in the hallway, and be like, yeah.
Sounds like our first date stuff.
Yes.
That sketch where he auditions for Chippendales.
Yes.
My favorite sketch of all time. And I don't think it's making fun of his body. I think it shows that he's a great actor. He stayed in character. He's great physical comedy. And how he stayed in character was just so charming to me. It was so innocent and childlike that sketch. I just love it. I had one line in it. I was so happy I got to be in it. I think my line is, they're ready for you.
Okay. So speaking of SNL and trying to stay in character, how hard is it to stay in character when you're doing that
right.
show?
Well, I found it quite easy because I am a professional.
Of course.
And Lorne Michaels told our cast, we do not break character, which means laugh at yourself.
Right.
Okay, so he wanted us not to. Then when Adam Sandler came along and started doing it all the time, and everybody liked anything he did, then the rule must have didn't exist anymore, I guess. Lorne let that one go. But I like it better when comedians don't laugh at themselves. I like it way better.
Uh-huh.
I like it when the guests can't hold it in.
Mm-hmm.
Like whoever's hosting.
Yeah.
Whoever's hosting, they can't keep it together. I love that.
You know, that's true. That has a charm, too. It does.
All right, Victoria. For all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts to let listeners know what you've done, what you've accomplished. Steph's not aware of any of these besides the one you've already mentioned, mm-hmm. right? So you've mentioned a few of these already, but keep me honest, Victoria, if any of these are off. All right, Steph, you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, fun fact number one about Victoria. In 1991, Victoria reunited with her high school sweetheart, married him, moved to Florida, where he was a police helicopter pilot and would chase bad guys.
Oh.
Okay, so what is that like, Victoria? I'm assuming that's actually probably a good gig. Like, the criminals aren't shooting at your husband in the air, right? It's too far away. But what is it like for him? Like, do you have any good stories from that?
He loved it. I would not love that job. And they can shoot him, but they don't think of it. Don't tell them. He loved it because he was like Superman, you know?
Right.
Shine his light on him and... I went up with him about once or twice, and he said that I have an aura. Whenever I'm near machines, they break. Something about my aura. So the only time his chopper ever broke was when I got in it.
Oh, no.
The engine chip light went on, whatever that is, and he had to land in a bad neighborhood in a school field. And it was such a bad neighborhood that when we landed and they waited for his other cops to save us, some teenagers came over to see the chopper, and they had bullet wounds from a recent
oh, no.
shooting in their neck.
What?
Okay, that is a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a bad neighborhood. And I'm like, oh. Like, the guy had, yeah. So that was one exciting thing.
Okay, not to bring up a bad situation, but I thought this was very funny. Okay, Victoria, her first husband... I have heard her call him Satan a few times, but he was actually a fire eater.
So, she just said
yes,
that. She had said
yes.
that.
Yes. So what does that entail? Do you do shows together? Like, how does that work? Any crazy situations with him practicing at home or anything like that, Victoria?
Well, he wouldn't give me the secret because magicians are not supposed to share
True.
Their secrets. And there was real fire involved. I did see it up close. It's something about the lighter fluid that he squirts in his mouth beforehand. The fire laps that up first before your skin? I don't know. But when I first met him, he was doing an Al Jolson impression, playing the piano, and then eating fire for his encore. And I was doing a handstand poetry in a French Maine costume. We actually went together pretty well. But there's not much call for fire eating. So it's not like a salary you can raise a family on. But I shouldn't call him Satan, except it was a joke because I was trying to make up a stand-up routine and he did eat fire. And then I go, he said he's going to sue me if I keep calling him that in public. So now I just call him the artist formerly known as Satan. But, you know, I was just goofing around. But, yeah, both of my husbands are kind of like cartoon figures, aren't they?
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, final fun fact. She's been seen on the new Christmas comedy movie, Jingle Smells, opposite John Schneider. She also just released in November her very first music comedy album titled When I Get to Nashville. The album includes 18 hilarious songs, plus some stand-up, and features a cameo from her fellow SNL star, Rob Schneider.
Aww.
So, Victoria, please tell us more about your new album that you just released. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I was driving to Nashville in my white pickup truck, and I had three dogs in the front seat. My husband had just retired from being a cop in Miami, and we're like, it's a no-brainer. Where are we going to retire? Where our children and grandchildren are.
Right. Makes sense.
So I was getting this tune in my head. When I get to Nashville, I'm going to da-da-da. And I thought, hey, wait a minute. I'm a songwriter. I wrote songs in my 20s. I wrote Use Me because I was an out-of-work actress. And I wrote the boyfriend song because I was looking for a husband. I sang it on Johnny Carson. In my 30s, I wrote Where Do You Draw the Line Between Love and Adultery? And I wrote I'm a Bimbo and sang it on Saturday Night Live. So I made three goals.
Okay.
I want to sing at the Opry. I want to make a CD of my songs. And I want to hear them on the radio.
Okay.
So I did check off two of those.
Okay.
And now the last one left is to sing at the Grand Ole Opry before I die.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. And I think they need new mini Pearl.
I was saying, do you have any connections?
Yes.
I don't have any.
None.
No. And so I've been here 11 years and these are all songs I wrote since I moved here, but I'm just putting it out there. If the gatekeeper to the Opry is listening, I would like to sing at least one time there.
All right. Well, listeners, for more information about Victoria, you can go to her social media pages. On Instagram, it's at Victoria Jackson Official. On Facebook, it's Victoria Jackson L. Her website, which is where you
can
get the CD.
Wait, what is the... Wait.
Go ahead.
What's the L?
I don't know. What is your Facebook?
Oh.
You know what your handle is?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I don't think it has an L on it.
I had an L on that. Okay.
But forget about that. You can find my Facebook. It's pretty easy. It's Victoria Jackson something.
Official, yes.
But my website is victoriajackson.com.
Yes.
And they can get streaming.
That's true.
You can hear it on Amazon and Spotify.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the music comedy album titled When I Get to Nashville is available in all the digital outlets that she just mentioned, and CDs available exclusively at her website, victoriajackson.com.
Well, Victoria, you are fantastic.
This was
so much fun. We're fascinated by your career and everything. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on. Tell us a good story.
Well, next time I want to hear all about you because I feel like I hogged the conversation. You guys are adorable. And God bless you. You're so adorable. And you asked great questions, and I had fun. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Victoria.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.